Bob Larson wrote a book, The New Book of Cults, in which he lists 19 points that make up a cult. Now, on this particular evening in Ohio, when you were singing a song, Melody.
Yes, with my brother.
Right
did,
before
did
I...
Did you like our song?
I loved your song. Right before I came on, I think you were singing a song. It was a wonderful song. The mood was perfect. The birds were singing. Then I came on. Everyone was terribly disappointed. But I forged ahead, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
As I always do.
It turned out to be... maybe it was a long talk.
Well, yeah, you know, there's so many points. What I did was I threw out my notes in the middle of that talk. You remember, I was just starting
yeah.
to look through my papers, and I threw them down, and I said, I'm going right to point 19. That's what I said.
Yep, and point 19 was a real shocker.
Well, yeah, they're all shockers, but value rejection.
That sounds depressing.
Oh, it is. I want to go to the last point. I'm going to go to value rejection, because this is a big one, all right? Value rejection. Ted, always adjust to the circumstance, don't I, Ted? Value rejection. As the recruit becomes more integrated into the cult, he is encouraged to denounce the values and beliefs of his former life. Before becoming Christians, I'm talking about worldly people. I'm talking about worldly people, people you find at the bars, all those sinners. People hear about the doctrine of eternal torment and they're horrified. They're horrified. That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard. It repulses them, and rightly so. They can't believe that the Almighty God, the loving God who sent His Son to save humanity from their sins, would do something to His children that not even they, sinners that they are, would do to theirs. This shows good values. But after becoming Christianized, the values that you once held are changed to a new set of values where eternal torment becomes acceptable. You see what I'm saying? It becomes swallowable. Like, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I can kind of see that. Your whole value system is being shifted, night and day, that fast and that strong. When you hear of the love of God as a child, you're closer to the truth than your concept of the love of God after you've become brainwashed and Christianized. Because then you related the love of God to the love your mother gave you, who disciplined you for your good, but always brought you close. That's the love of a mother. And that's pure, and that's right, and that is God's kind of love. Even though He disciplines, that's God's love. But then you're introduced to a far different God. You learn of a fiercer God, the God you didn't know as a child, the God who now demands your love in return, or else. The God who puts conditions on your salvation. The God who is waiting for you to fail when He's going to pull the rug out. The God who's waiting for you to make that one mistake. And the God who is now, at this moment, tormenting your mother or your father. And will be doing so for eternity. And you force yourself to say, okay, that's the righteousness of God. Okay, they were unbelievers, and you talk yourself, you have to talk yourself into it because it goes against every natural instinct God gave you. Every God-given instinct you have screams against this. It screams, it repels it, everything. But as you're indoctrinated into, it slowly, your whole the way you look at things changes and it begins to become acceptable to you. And in extreme cases, you actually begin to teach it and to tell other people that this is the end result of Jesus Christ coming to save humanity. Most of humanity isn't saved. And the people He came to save, who are sinners, are not saved because they committed the ultimate sin, unbelief. He saved sinners. Unbelief is the worst sin. But you have to be an unbeliever. You have to change from being an unbeliever to a believer long enough to get saved. But you can't do that because you're stuck in it. But God's not going to help you because you have a free will. And it's totally impossible. And you tell yourself, I have to believe this because everybody's believing it. And I signed a statement of faith and they're telling me it's true. And everything in me screams, but I must be wrong. I must be wrong because there's so many people believing it. That's the cult. I must be wrong because there's so many people who believe it. And there's people with degrees and PhDs and doctors of divinity that are teaching it, so it must be right. And yet there's this still small voice inside you that says, no, no, it's not right. And then sometime in your life, somebody might bring you the scriptures correctly translated. And it might be the best day in your life when they open it and show you that, you know, eternal torment is really, it's based on a mistranslation of a single word. And you know, there are about 10 or 15 scriptures in there that show that God is going to be all in all. And yes, there's judgment. And yes, there's hard times and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But Jesus Christ did come to save all. And the person who can go back in time and to remember what they felt about God as a child, they will be awakened and they will come and they will say, show me, God, show me how this is scriptural. I mean, I've heard about people who believed that God was going to be the Savior of all mankind, but I thought they were a bunch of whiny, old, teary-eyed grandmothers that were just afraid that their children were going to go to hell. I didn't know it was actually in the scriptures. You can prove this? Yeah, I can prove it. I can prove it in 100 places. You want to see it? And there's a struggle right there. Yeah, I do want to see it, but all my friends are over here, and yeah, I want to see it. But I'm afraid of seeing it. I'm real afraid of seeing it. Because if I see it, if the Spirit of God moves me to see it, my life is going to change dramatically. And suddenly, I'm going to be different. And I'm going to know the persecution that Jesus suffered of being hated by the religious people, being hated by people with crosses on their neck who adjured you by the living God, are you the Messiah? And that persecution hurts. And that's the line. That's the line. That's the line that's being drawn here. And it's so tempting because the system has everything, you see. We come here for 3 days and then we go our own way. Some people go 2,000 miles away. Some people go 600 miles away. And we all have troubles and we all have struggles. And we want to belong to an affirming community. We want the comfort of the systems. We like to hear music and we love to belong. There's something in the human that wants to belong. But I ask you, what is better than belonging to the body of Christ? And that is independent of walls. The body of Christ operates in spite of walls. It operates outside of walls. If you wanted to fellowship in Jesus' day, you did not go to the temple. You went to the Sea of Galilee. You went to the foot of the mountain. You went to the garden. You went to the campfire at night, and that's where you found Jesus Christ. And that's where you learned the truth. You did not learn it at the temple. Did Jesus go to church? Yes, he went to church. He went to church when it was time to die. He went to church when it was time to get killed. And if you embrace the truth, you will be killed by this system. Because this system hates the truth, and it will do everything it can to squash the truth.